You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
They had 31 holes scheduled for our final pairing Sunday at the Memorial. JT Poston and Ryan Gerard said, plenty of sun still up there. In the end, it was the postman casting the longest shadow and delivered a handshake. A par on the second playoff hole, enough to claim his fourth career victory on tour. Golf's longest day, a day early at Jack's Place, as JT Poston is your winner at the Memorial. Welcome to Scorecard, presented by Lincoln Financial, here to button up a wild day that was. Joe Musso, Shane Bacon, Patrick McDonald, and fellas, we have our eyes and ears ready on the ground as well. Johnson Wagner joining the conversation, and Wags, it's been playoff golf, if you will, here in recent memory, specifically here, two holes between JT Poston and Ryan Gerard. What did you make of the day at large, this marathon Sunday for those two?
It was an incredible day, and did not think at the beginning of this fourth round that we would have so many players with a chance coming down the stretch to win. I mean, at one point we had five guys tied at 11, and when you think about this finishing stretch of 16, 17, 18, it really paid off. And as difficult as it is, it weeded those five down to the two. I mean, the birdie putt Gerard made on 17, and then having JT Poston make the bird on 18 to force the playoff. And then with Gerard making that 6.5 footer that he ultimately missed on the second playoff hole to continue to force the playoff. It was just fireworks everywhere. It was an amazing Sunday at the Memorial Tournament.
An exciting finish and a win earned here, but I'm wondering how we got here, Shane Bacon. Poston 14 starts this season, four missed cuts, two top 25s, an average finishing position of 38th in the nine events that he did make the cut. Where did this sort of play come from?
Why do we do predictions in this sport? No top 20s?
It was postman
year.
The whole way.
I mean, this is crazy. This guy has been so far lost on the golf course. I know he changed golf balls and we got a new putter in the bag. It reminds me of that run James Hahn was on years ago when he had all those missed cuts in a row and then gets the win at Quail Hollow. I mean, they obviously can pop up, you can find form, but very surprising considering what we've seen from him, not just over the last few weeks, this season.
I did not have a James Hahn reference on my
A block James Hahn,
for
baby.
This episode, but I think it's just another example of all these guys are so close to bottling up that magic. And you bring up the golf ball change. We saw someone like Cameron Young do that last summer and the run that he went on. You think about the equipment changes, JJ Spahn and the putter as well. Even though this guy was barely inside the top 100 in the world and outside the top 100 in the FedEx Cup, he knows how to win, and he proved that again today.
And how about this from Poston? I mean, you talk about feeling confident at a golf course. I mean, this is the eighth time he's played this golf tournament. He'd never broke 70 on the weekend. I mean, he barely made the weekend at this golf course in this golf tournament. I mean, you were talking about finding your game and your form at one of the hardest tests. I mean, very surprising to me, the surprise winner of the year to this point.
Wags, I'm glad that you bring up the play that preceded this, because the Friday 65 J-Dub is really the differentiator here, at least set him up best for this moment. Shane and I and Patrick as well, we've had the conversation, but following up a low number like that, nine shots better than the field average on Friday, we see a lot of guys walk away from the idea of following up a 65 with something more. What is it to maintain that level for 36 plus more holes?
Well, I think when we talk about JT Poston and why he's been struggling the last year and a half or so, it's been the putting and it's been the short game. I mean, he's kind of steadily declined since finishing second in strokes gained putting on the PGA Tour back in 2021, but switched to a new putter last week, the spider putter that everybody's switching to, and he found a feel on the greens, and he got hot with it, and his short game was dialed in as well. But, guys, like, let's not talk about this being such a surprise. Mm-hmm. He has made 10 of 14 cuts this year, and a couple of the cuts he's missed have been in those sort of signature events with the cut to 50 and ties. So he has not been that far off. Just needed a guy like JT Poston. If his putter goes cold, he's not going to find his way to the top of the leaderboard. So when he gets it hot like he did this time, it just says that, hey, I think he's going to be back for the remainder of the season. And I think he's going to move inside the top 60 and not have to go do golf's longest day tomorrow mm-hmm. either.
I know you're
going to be out there.
Yeah, stretching right now. Wags, I mean, making cuts is one thing, but I mean, come on. This is a surprise. I mean, the fact that this is where he's been this season. I mean, he's not been in contention at all. I mean, we talk about, you know, you have a week where you finish fifth or 10th. I mean, to not have a top 20, I mean, you've got to admit this is relatively shocking for a guy like this, considering the resume. I know you're talking about some solid play. This almost feels like the way we talk about the man I will not mention in Jay Spieth out on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, I mean, sure, I guess when you're a guy that's won three times on the PGA Tour like JT Poston, I know there's a lot of players in that sort of mid-range, mid-tier players that are good enough to win any given week. They just need the breaks to go their way. And JT Poston, when he sniffs that lead, he's not afraid of the situation. So it's not a surprise to anybody that actually knows JT and watches him out here week to week. But I can see where you're coming from, Shane.
19 Wyndham, 22 Deer, 24 Shriners here in 2026, far and beyond the biggest moment of JT Poston's career. And a big moment, Patrick, as you pointed to, moving forward mm-hmm. in what the season is going to look like next year and the years beyond. This is a player that's right around that 100 mark, 114 in the FedEx Cup standings coming into this week, 94 in the official world golf rankings. This is status secured.
Yeah, job security is ball security, right? And I'll toss it to you, Johnson. JT Poston is one of these guys who kind of makes his living making the most out of those high-end weeks on the PGA Tour, not like a Xander Schauffele who's death by a million top 20s. Johnson, is there added pressure when you're a player of this caliber, when you play yourself into this position, to squeeze just about everything out of it?
I think so. I mean, when you think about the game and how it's dominated right now, it's dominated by length. It's dominated by a lot of different things. And JT, I've talked about it already, but when his putter goes cold, he does not play well. And usually in years past would be missing a bunch of cuts. I think it's a testament to his game. He really has added some length over the last couple of years. And maybe that's just starting to pay off right now. But JT is not going to compete week in, week out on the PGA Tour. He just doesn't hit the ball far enough or consistent enough to be a guy like a Scottie Scheffler or Xander that you just mentioned. But yes, when he gets those five or six chances a year to finish in the top 10, top five, he has to capitalize. And fortunately, he did it this week. Well, in making the turn today, it looked like he was going to just ride himself completely out of this story, but came back with a vengeance on those last six holes and made some great birdies to end up shooting even par on the day.
All right, we talked about Shane getting stretched out for golf's longest day. We're going to let Wags get some trunk twists in as well, put a club in his hand to do some recreation here throughout the show. We are always privileged to welcome in lead analyst of golf on CBS, Trevor Immelman, with thoughts on a marathon Sunday here. Trevor, I can't help but look at this from 30,000 feet because it was 33 holes between these two throughout the day. How do you characterize the level of play they carried for as long as they did?
Yeah, Moose, it was seriously impressive because, like you say, it was a long day. It was hot out there. And Muirfield Village is a tough walk. I mean, there is a lot of elevation change. But these guys just seemed like, as the day was stretching out, they were playing better and better and better. What an exciting Sunday for us to have a handful of guys in with a shot to win with 45 minutes to go and Poston coming out on top for his fourth win. I thought that was so clutch from him. The par save at 17 in regulation and then the birdie to get into the playoff was so super cool, really, really happy for him.
I mean, Trevor, you think about the finishes the last couple of weeks. I mean, playing your best golf down the stretch to give yourself an opportunity to win. I mean, JT Poston felt like he was playing himself out of this golf tournament and makes three birdies over his final five holes. You think about Russell Henley and the run we saw from him picking up that victory. There is something about these pro golfers that somehow find their best game under the most amount of pressure, and we saw that today from Poston.
Yeah, that's a great point, Shane. You know, we were lucky enough to have Jack up in the booth with us. And when JT bogeyed 12 and 13, he actually said on the air, he was like, you know, the whole day JT's had this lead and he's been playing too defensive. He needs to stop that and get his foot back on the gas. And maybe now that he's not leading after those bogeys, he'll go ahead and do that. And it was almost like Jack had a direct line into his brain because right from there, he birdied 14, 15, and 18 to get into the playoff. And then, you know, what a brilliant putt there from, you know, just outside of 3 feet. I mean, that's long enough to miss for sure. And just such a great moment. You know, you consider that he's had a tough year. He came into this week at 114th in the FedEx Cup standing. His best finish was a tie for 21st. And now all of a sudden he's got an opportunity to win. And he stepped up and stepped up big. I think that's something that he really will be seriously proud of. You know, as this starts to sink in over the next few days.
Trevor, we were joking around here to have you pull out the calculator and do the OWGR calculations for us, but it seems like JT's going to be making his way to Shinnecock Hills and punching his ticket to the U.S. Open. Beyond that, what can this confidence in this win kind of unlock for the rest of the season?
Yeah, that's a great point, and it's not just that. There was also an Open Championship spot up for grabs this week that he gets as well. The best finisher that is not exempt into the Open was going to get in this week. So he's got both majors covered for the remainder of the season. Unlocks everything else that comes along with it. And now, after this huge jump up the FedEx Cup standings, he's going to have his eyes set on the Tour Championship. I mean, that when you set your goals at the start of the season as a player on the PGA Tour, that's what you're looking for. I mean, in the back of your mind, you're like, okay, I want to keep my job, you know, so let's go ahead and keep your card. But really what you're looking for is trying to find a way to get to the Tour Championship. If you can finish in the top 30, you really have had a remarkable season, and that is now available to him.
Trev, I usually don't like to ask personally invasive questions, but I do need to know. can we get a milkshake count for the week? Are you comfortable What's offering that number up here?
Yeah, look, I just went with the two this week, Moose. I was very disciplined. We'll share with you that I went with coffee flavor for the first time, which was tremendous.
Wow.
And so, you know, maybe next year I got to be a little more aggressive with my strategy and and try and beat the two that I had this weekend.
You knew it was going to be a long day, Trevor. We appreciate the strategy. We appreciate the time always here on Scorecard. Thank you, my friend.
Great job, guys. Thanks. Nice to join you.
All right, conversation continues here in studio. Shane Bacon, I just want to put a number to it here. If I gave you an over-under.
We're not talking milkshakes anymore?
We're not talking milkshakes, but we are talking numbers.
Okay.
If I gave you an over-under career earnings of $30 million after this win on JT Poston, where do you think it lands?
I mean, it seems like I'd want to take under, but I mean, the fact that you're asking me that feels like, are you saying all time, like when he's done with his career?
No, right now, career
Shane, I'll give you this. Remember, runner-up at the PGA last year.
I'll say under $30 million.
Just under. I thought I was going to big brain you by setting it higher. $27 million, I just wanted to offer 14% of his career earnings coming with that putt on the 33rd hole of the day for JT.
I mean, the PGA Tour, listen, I think we in the golf world look at PGA Tour players as these people that fly private and they have 75 people around that help with the kids and with travel. A lot of these people do it themselves with their families. I mean, winning a big check like this is huge for them. I mean, the fact that a JT Poston has made $27 million in his career on the PGA Tour speaks to a lot of changes over the last few years in professional golf. I don't think Jack pulled $27 million in his career with all those victories. But, I mean, a monumental moment. You saw the family and the reactions there, both the miss and the make, obviously in the playoff there for an opportunity to win. For JT Poston, who knows where this takes him? Obviously a surprise victory for him. But to Patrick's point, and I thought it was a great point, when you get these opportunities, you have got to take advantage. And that brings me to Gerard and what we saw from him down the stretch. Obviously a short miss there. I think he'll be kicking himself, but I also think he's one of those guys that has a moment like this and goes, I was close, I had a chance, now we move on.
We're gonna dive into all those names, Patrick, and I don't wanna cut you short here, but I know exactly where I wanna take us next. I'm being told that Johnson Wagner is ready to rock, and there was plenty of odd and other to choose from this week as we put a club in the hands of Wags, but we're gonna take you out to number 15 and a shot and a spot rarely charted in yardage books. Denny McCarthy offering this bit of magic.
Oh my God.
From hospitality to the hole. How about that?
Left of left.
Wags, pretty simple here. Hop and a half in the rough. What's it look like from back there?
Well, fortunately, it's far enough off of the main rough that the lie's not too bad over here. But I don't think I've got the speed or the skill to hit this thing high enough in the air and land it in that 1 yard of rough. But an absolutely amazing shot. I was walking with J.J. Spahn and Alex Noren, and J.J. Spahn was just over this bunker to the left and hit the most beautiful flop shot I've seen off a downslope, and it barely stayed in the fringe on the other side of the green. So for Denny's to come out as softly as it did and trickle in the hole, I have very low expectations. I'm also going to build in an excuse that I tweaked my back while playing on Friday.
Perfect.
So
perfect. Yeah,
just what everyone wants right now.
Poor you playing on Friday.
Double eagle or something, and he hurt his back.
Oh, please go.
Heavy? Oh, that was not too bad.
Yeah. You're right there.
It was not. I think I got to give one more.
Hey, Wags, are we dropping these or placing them? Like, I mean, what are you doing with these lies?
Fluff it up. I'm sure Denny got TIO relief anyways.
I'm dropping it. I'm dropping
okay,
it.
Okay, all right.
All right, just get to hit it a little bit harder.
Here we go.
Oh, and it's even worse. Mm-hmm. Well.
Oh, try that one.
Yeah. You might have to go with the fill over
the
shoulder.
You know
on
what?
That one.
Do not try that one with a bad back. That is not going to help anybody's cause.
I got another surprise planned for you later, though, so stay tuned.
That's just it. We were just getting the hands warm for Johnson Wagner because it is a cannon of historic shots out there at the Memorial. We're going to take you back to one that we know and love, but we got plenty more coming between now and then as we assess all the names down this leaderboard. We'll be right back after a quick break here on Scorecard.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Get in the bunker!
We are live at the 18th and our
Stop
leader.
Stop the bunker, dog!
Sticking to his usual cadence for the day.
And that was clutch right there, dog.
Moving
just
up my list.
It down
Not
the right
bunker,
inside.
Dog. I mean, that's immediately going into
Patrick, he's moving up my list on favorite golfers, I gotta say.
You gotta give it back.
Like this kid a lot.
Just because you're inside the ropes doesn't mean you can't chirp back.
Not in the bunker, but also not in the winner's circle after two playoff holes. Ryan Gerard, a week that you said he can build off of, and we're going to get into plenty of that. But we got a highlight to get into as well. And Shane, you know, I said I love a beefy shot sheet. We're riding blind, baby. No shotty.
Don't need a shot sheet.
No shot. That's JT Poston. Knew he had a long Sunday out in front of him, 31 holes scheduled. It would take more. How about Tommy Fleetwood putting himself in position, Shane, to do exactly what Tommy Fleetwood has done so many times before to us, and that's pulled the rug right out from under our feet.
And made a run. I mean, first start since the PGA. I will say this has been trending in a more positive direction. Patrick, the iron play, a little iffy this
late eagle takes us there.
Two good signature events in a row.
Yeah.
Sandwiching a miscut at the PGA.
Yep. I mean, I will get to Tommy in a bit when we talk U.S. Open because the trends are good for Tommy Fleetwood.
Slamming Sammy Burns also was dancing around the lead. And this was after JT Poston rounded out his third round, opened that four-shot lead. Sam Burns headed the wrong direction in those late Saturday, Sunday morning holes and still finds himself working back into contention here. He would find himself tied for a lead late in this one, as would Ryan Gerard, who, Shane, you said it, he's starting to build up some equity in the book of Shane Bacon, but also build up some space, sort of flexing his elbows and saying, I belong here in these sorts of moments.
Yeah, he looked like the security guard kind of riding out to the first playoff hole, just kind of muscled out and ready to rock. I mean, Gerard is the type of player to me, and Patrick, you've touched a lot more on him than I have, but he just seems like the kind of guy that looks at weeks like this, I know he'll be disappointed. I feel like he builds on these weeks. He doesn't beat himself up because he didn't get it done. He had an opportunity, had a couple of looks to win in theory, but
Poston was just a little better.
We saw that shot by JT Poston, played himself out of a lead more or less, and then had to grind back into it. Wyndham Clark off the top rope. It was looking like back-to-back victories for Wyndham.
Oh, man, we were going to have so much grape tonight.
We're going to keep that close. We're going to keep that close.
We are going to be stomping on grape. This was so bad from Fleetwood. It was the layup.
The mistake was the shot.
What are you laying up in the rough for? You can't do that.
From left rough to right rough to a square and not to be heard from there, Tommy Fleetwood, another near miss
this
that you can add to the
here.
List of them. And here's where it was for me. There was some, come on. There was some, he was barking.
Yep.
There was a little bit of go get that, a little Spieth, because I'm allowed
you
to say Jordan
it.
Spieth.
Look, there it is. Yeah. There's
go
the point.
Go get that.
I'm saying, you know, 12th man on the President's Cup team, why not Ryan Gerard?
It's looking like at that point, too.
Listen, sign me up.
Exactly.
I love
do
that.
It.
Sign me up
fire.
For that all day, every day. I'm fine with this leaderboard in theory being a part of the President's Cup team. Just give me some randoms on the team.
The postman goes to the 72nd, needing this to potentially force a playoff, and bang.
Yep.
Pours it right in. Emotion out of JT Poston as well.
Of course,
Ryan Gerard
trade punches, you know?
Would have to answer here, and I mean, this wasn't nothing.
Yeah, that's a great putt.
We're heading to a playoff. Some steely stuff from the two is Ryan Gerard and JT Poston go for 31 plus holes now on this marathon Sunday in the playoff chain.
Moose, what are your thoughts on the muted kind of lower fist pump? Do you like that one?
I mean, in that moment, give it to full Marge Simpson.
That's reserved for Matt Fitzpatrick.
You crane up this way and you get underneath it, man.
I
have a feeling we're going to see a couple more fist pumps throughout the show here. Johnson Wegger getting set up for another shot recreation. But here in the extra holes, they were sort of trading positions that they did in regulation, Shane, and left a little bit too much coming up the hill on the 74th hole.
But Post have 7 feet to win. That first playoff hole had a great look. Obviously shoves that putt. Didn't really give it a chance. But this was just a tricky one. You see how much he's got to play in terms of break. Kind of decels on the stroke. Misses that right.
His tendency is kind of the wipe, I think, with Gerard's.
The short slider, probably the last thing you want to see with a tournament on the line at a playoff. A shorty for Poston. The big check, the trophy. And in this case, the handshake from the man himself, JT Poston, your winner at the Memorial following a marathon Sunday that included 33 holes, a family affair there for the Postons, as this is a marquee victory, a signature event that goes the way of the Poston household. Some great work by Jim Nance late in this one. I believe it was James Tyree Poston.
Somehow did the Poston Bobby Jones comp. You got to love that stuff. That is only Jim Nance can pull it off. That's four and a lot of zeros with the victory.
Let me get this layup. Here's Poston post round.
Nice.
JT, you came into this week without a top 20 finish and you leave with the biggest win of your career. What did it take to outlast this entire field through 33 holes?
A lot of holes, a lot of grit. Obviously didn't play my best first 12, 13 holes, but I told myself I knew I was going to shake Jack's hand walking off 18, and I wanted to be proud of that handshake, and regardless of how it turned out, so I'm thrilled it happened this way.
Your wife and your beautiful children are right here to celebrate with you, and this is an emotional one. Guys, could you just explain why so much emotion? We were talking, you have seen your husband work so hard. What does it take to get to this moment?
A lot of hard work. A lot of people believing in me when I may not have myself, and starting with this one. So many people to thank, my coach, my family, Aaron, kept me steady out there. I know I'm forgetting a few, but just hard to believe, honestly. I haven't played my best, but I felt like it was trending, and just to do it this way, and birdie in 18, and can't wait to shake Mr. Nicklaus' hand.
We won't hold you up from that any further. Congratulations.
Guys, I think to say, coming off of those beautiful images, did it on short sleep and a bad back, because that's just life with two under two,
or so
it appears. Patrick, you could go on posting here a bit, but I want to get you on something that you made a great point as we were watching. 15 signature events the last two seasons, 15 different winners. We've had big names, we've had breakthroughs. I know that it's not a perfect system right now, but this seems to be a credit once again to the signature event model.
It's been good these past 2 years. And of course, before those 2 years, Scottie Scheffler won 4 out of 8. So we've had a taste of both, you know.
Zip, zap,
zip, zap. We have a menu. What do you want? Do you want, you know, this or that? What type of dish are you feeling? But I think it kind of shows you the playing opportunities to play yourself in. Because look on that leaderboard, you had someone like Eric Cole. And then, of course, Chris Wrighton, who won the Truist Championship. He was right there as well. And even Alex Fitzpatrick. These were guys who were not in the signature events at the onset of the season, winning and contending. And so you see the ladder up to this. But I would still like to see the fields expand to 120 players. And I know we talked about the cuts, and Johnson mentioned how JT has been making cuts. Well, Shane, if you and I were in the field at the Truist Championship, guess what? We have a tee time on Saturday and Sunday
right.
as well. And so I think there's an extra layer that still needs to be added.
258th start for JT Poston in his career on the PGA Tour alone, fourth win. It's a sport that beats you down so often. That's why it's so emotional with the family, because you walk away from Sundays with a lot of opportunity to make something happen on a Sunday, earn more money, but rarely do you get an opportunity if you're JT Poston to walk away with a trophy. Thus the reason you see these types of reactions. And that's why golf, as many times as it kicks you in the teeth and tells you you're terrible at this sport, you do have those glimmers. And you can kind of build on those. What a moment for the fam.
And I think all of that leads me next to Ryan Gerard. And you said, you know, after a couple of days, you can position this as a positive, something you put into the mental bank as a place where you succeeded on one of the hardest golf courses we see all season long. You can also say, man, I jammed that one by, and yeah, I had an opportunity here to have the biggest moment of my career. How does he reconcile those two things right now?
I mean, again, I think you run the putt by. I think you can sit there at night and sleep on that. I gave it a chance in theory. I mean, I hate playing with the guy on the scramble whose first putt, you know, when you're playing the scramble, he runs at 20 feet pine and goes, can't leave it short. I'm like, well, that putt's never going in the hole. You're Ryan Gerard. You at least gave yourself an opportunity to make the birdie, to win. Ryan Gerard is a player, and Patrick, you've been on him a lot. You've talked a lot about him. Oh, you've chatted with him. He seems like one of those guys that could be, in theory, next up, not in terms of being a superstar, but just being that consistent player that's top 30, top 40 in the world and just kind of hangs around there, almost like Russell Henley light. Mm-hmm. Is that fair to say?
I think that's fair, because honestly, down the road, maybe a couple years' time, I do see this guy as a potential top 10 player in the world. And you think about his season around the calendar flip. He finished second in Mauritius to earn that spot in the Masters, runner-up, and then he finished runner-up at the Sony, runner-up at the American Express. And now you see again, he was in that final grouping at Colonial last week, runner-up this week too. He goes on these spurts. It's all about maybe getting a little bit more consistent, but I think that feel with the putter is going to be a game changer with him. And as we saw there with that putt on 17, the guy's just a gamer.
That's the stuff.
He's just a gamer.
That's the stuff, because that doesn't come out of everybody. I don't want to... This isn't a pot shot at Aaron Rye. We're thrilled that he wins the PGA Championship, but he pours in that 70-some foot, and it's some guys succeed right here at even keel. When the emotion comes out of a golfer, that's the quickest way to win me over in my rooting.
Absolutely, and then you give it back to the fan.
That's what
on
I was
18.
About to say. It's the back-to-back moment. It's the putt on 17, and then you give it back to the fan. I mean, how many pro golfers are doing that? I mean, they're reacting the way after the putt, making the putt, obviously being excited about it, and then to kind of have the feel of the moment to chirp back. I don't think there's many guys in pro golf that would have actually chirped back at the fan, made it a little bit of fun.
Now, we do have to harness that energy, which takes me to Wyndham Clark and another positive performance here, Patrick, coming off a win in his last start at Craig Ranch 14 days ago. Didn't have a top 15 finish this season.
Yeah.
And he goes win, solo three, and finishes what? A shot out of a playoff here. But where has this level of play for Wyndham Clark come from? We know decorated with a major distinction already, but it seems to have escaped him for large swaths of this season, and now squarely back in a groove.
Well, I'll say this, even last year when he did not play well, you know where he did show up was the Open Championship. It was a distant, I believe, third place finish at Royal Port Rush, and we thought maybe that was the beginning of him starting to come back, and then the beginning of the season obviously did not go the way he went wanted it to. Tightened up his golf swing, his iron play is lethal right now. Wyndham Clark is one of those guys you trust with a big putt on the line. You think about the one on 16, the par three. I go back to the one that he missed on the 72nd hole at TPC Sawgrass that did everything but fall as well. And so we talk about confidence with Gerard. Clark is always confident.
Might be the most confident golfer.
Like, almost to the point of delusion. But you have to be delusional to be great at professional golf.
And to the man that's name is on this golf tournament, I mean, to me, one of Jack's superpowers throughout his career was believing things that maybe didn't even exist about his own game. He'd famously talk about how he never three-putted an 18th green. People were like, I can go back and find a three-putt, but Jack, in his mind, just simply did not believe it. I think being delusional is one of the great skills of being an awesome golfer. And I love what you're talking about with Wyndham Clark. This guy couldn't make anything for, what, 2.5, 3 months on the PGA Tour. Now every time he stands over a putt, it feels like he's going to be the guy that cashes it.
And we know he's been playing this golf course for 50 years now. He's hit it in the water once at 12.
Once. Which again, like, he might have hit it 100 times, but he knows it when it was. That's all that matters.
Only once. It is a matter of framing at times for the confidence of these players. Delusion is a great word to use, as they all try and convince themselves they can do it. We keep trying to convince ourselves Tommy Fleetwood could do it. He pulled the same trick on us here, Shane. And you can either frame this as Tommy rounding into form heading to Shinnecock, where many, including yourself, had him earmarked, or you can say another opportunity in a full field event to grab one by the neck, and he doesn't.
He'll be disappointed with that finish. He'll be disappointed with the way he closed out. That being said, it was nice to see Tommy Fleetwood alive. I feel like we've been kind of waiting for this after what he did last season. I will say this, because I still think Tommy Fleetwood's going to be my pick at Shinnecock. Okay. In 2018, when he had that chance to win on Sunday, when he shot 60, let's call it 62 and a half, because he had that putt at the 18th for 62. T4, miscut, T7, and then that second at Shinnecock. Right now, T5th, miscut, T4th. Headed in to the U.S. Open. So the form is, if you will, similar to what we saw in 2018. The one issue, the iron play, not as good this week.
And look, there were five guys tied for the lead with three holes to go. Only one guy is going to win. He had a great shot there on 15. I think we should highlight that as well, to give himself the lead with a few holes to go there, momentarily solo lead at 11 under. But the compounding of mistakes there on 17, that's just a big no-no for Fleetwood.
Only one guy's going to win, and I feel like Tommy Fleetwood always makes sure it's not going to be him. Like, I feel like that's the end to that
sentence. You're more down on Tommy.
I expect so much of but I expect so much of these guys that I open my heart to. Like, the finish, the swagger. The hat's not good right now, but the color scheme was a little better here on Sunday.
I like the shirt.
He's a player I love to see in the mix, and I so badly want to see him, like I said, take one by the shoulders, shake it, and say, this one's mine.
Well, I mean, he's the salt of the PGA Tour right now. He's in every dish. It's just he doesn't win that often. That's obviously been the issue with Tommy
Fleetwood.
He
enhances, he doesn't change.
This was the first opportunity he had to win in 2026.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. So he needs to play himself into the mix more. I think that is the one point you could have been critical of him last year when everyone was calling him a choker. Mm-hmm. When you look at his mark at the 54 hole point, it wasn't great. And then he finally got himself in the mix at the Travelers, at St. Jude. He understood what he was feeling in that moment. It could be something similar this year too.
Again, a matter of framing and how he wants to take the positive and get rid of the negative heading forward to Shinnecock, where, again, it makes sense. If the ball striking's there, it makes sense that Tommy Fleetwood would be there in the end as well. Got to get some other names here. Sam Burns, it's one of the best finishes of his season, 10 under number. Again, much like Tommy, gets himself into that conversation, and then late mistakes. Patrick, what did you see down the stretch from Burns?
I saw a bridge, which
we did see a bridge, which was awesome,
him out,
which was sick.
The real question is, will that bridge be there next year? Will Jack take that bridge out and be like, that's going to be a penalty. Take your drop there. It felt like a guy who was trying to grab the tournament, as you've mentioned, Joe.
Yeah.
There at a moment where he shouldn't have, right? You chip back in. His wedge play had been good, not great. I felt the wedge play was a little bit more loose there on the back nine, much tighter on the front nine. And because of that, just with the bogey and how congested the leaderboard was, but it's another golf tournament on a tough golf course that Sam Burns' name is in the thick of it late, and that is going to prove very beneficial going into major championships and the rest of the season.
181 yards in the rough with no stance, and you try to hit a 6-iron to a front left hole location. Maybe
that.
Not the
I
shot.
I got this.
That's
delusion.
Probably, that's probably one that tonight he's going.
You just said delusion's great.
We should have just pitched out. Yeah, the delusion will work both ways. Let me tell you that. Trust me, from experience, I know that's being the case. But yeah, that was maybe not the time you wanted to take it. Mm-hmm. There was plenty of opportunity left. Obviously, we saw birdies at 18, but he'll be kicking himself there. But I think Sam Burns is trending in a direction, considering the recent major champions. Sam Burns has got to be looking at this upcoming U.S. Open as a real opportunity.
Shane, I think we've gone as long as we ever have in a show where Scotty's in the field not talking Scotty. And I do want to offer you the forum once again. You know, these internet streets, they're tough. And there was a comp yesterday, and I understood the context of it. Scotty missing a piece, paying maybe a bit of whack-a-mole with his game right now. When this is here, that is not. But you look at the total stats throughout this week, and he's just about field average except everywhere except around the greens. This was an average performance for a guy that is so high above average. What do you take from the week that was here for Scotty?
Pretty sleepy Sunday, kind of a sleepy week. He was frustrated. I will say this, because we try to contextualize Scotty Scheffler in the year he's having, and people say he's got to win, he's finishing high, and you kind of compare that to previous seasons. 2023 finished outside the top 10 six times. I mean, that was kind of the year he broke out and we started to see the brilliance of Scotty Scheffler. 2024 finished outside the top 10 three times, same last year. This was the fifth time this season he's finished outside the top 10. It's not nothing. I'll say that about Scotty Scheffler. Nothing is really incredible. Stuff is good and stuff can be great at times, but nothing in terms of his game right now is sensational like it's been the last few years.
What's hilarious is I have one note on this notebook. I'm just trying to look smart like you guys. Mm-hmm. That one note is the exact same stat. Finishes outside the top 10. He has 32 straight finishes inside the top 25. You go back to that BMW
That's
championship.
Wild. How many?
At 32 now. At Castle Pines in the FedEx Cup playoffs. And so there is something that is clearly missing. He is still by far the best player in the world. But you look at him finishing at the same mark that Rory McIlroy, and you can't help but feel the perspective going into the U.S. Open feels a little bit different. And I think that's fair to say.
And I think we do have some thoughts coming in the YouTube chat on Scotty Scheffler.
Uh-oh.
The week that was, perhaps.
They're probably yelling at me about the
question for the crew. Scotty's season win total over under 2.5.
Brother, we hammered the over way early.
Yeah, he's got money on 10.
I'll say this. I'll take right now. I'll take the under. He's got one win, so he's got to win two more times.
He wins
times.
The 3M.
Yeah, there you go. For Patrick's over under.
Nine and a half.
That's see. He's, yeah. He's probably going to hard hit the
Come
under.
Come on in.
I do want to. If
playing the DP World Tour this season.
If he's going to get to 3+ wins this year, the person has to start feeding the player. How much right now is Scotty getting in Scotty's way with sort of the shoulders being down, the rhetoric with the caddy not being the best? There's just not a ton of positivity right now internally, it feels like.
And it's been going on for a while. Even go back to the Florida swing when it was really slumped shoulders in the Players' Championship in particular, where he's giving Miss Putts thumbs up and was being super sarcastic and just frustrated in general. I don't know if there needs to be a switch in the mentality, because this guy's just hyper-competitive and you never want to give any of that away. That is one of his many superpowers. I just think the bounces aren't really going his way. And I talked about his wedge play yesterday. A lot of those scoring chances that are typically stress-free for him, he's adding a lot of unwarranted stress right now in his game. And that has never been the case for Scheffler. And I think there's some second-guessing a little bit.
And also, just you mentioned Sawgrass. Just to put a button on Scotty, the golf courses he has dominated in his career, he's not played great at this season. Mm-hmm. That is also something to focus on. I mean, the places we expect a win from Scotty, or a second place finish, or a third place finish, we have seen Scotty really indifferent on the golf course.
It's a different bar. Is it fair? Likely no, but
it's
the world number one.
But he has done it, and that's how this works.
Exactly.
When you're the best player in the world, and you win all the time, and you finish in the top 10 all the time, and you legitimately finish in the top 25 all the time, when you play mediocre golf for 4 days at a golf course you've dominated the last couple years, we're going to talk like this.
I'll tell you this much. He will be the betting favorite at Shinnecock in a couple of weeks.
Rightfully so.
Second in those odds, likely to be Rory McIlroy as well, as he continues to hunt not just these distinctions, but as we said a day ago, the wear of it all. Rory really just feels like this week greasing the wheels, checking the belts, making sure the motor's ready to run.
Helmet latch still working?
He's buttoned up. He looks to be in form.
I mean, 500 through six today in the final round, then made one birdie the rest of the way. 30 of 56 fairways, not going to work at Shinnecock.
He talked about it in depth after his round, about he feels like his swing with the driver in particular is a bit under the plane, and because of that, he has a two-way miss, a quick left. And I feel like we've been seeing a lot of those weak ones out to the right, even going back to Augusta National. He did mention Shinnecock, wider fairways, which should help someone like Rory McIlroy. And the iron play was great. But I just think it's so funny that him and Scotty Scheffler tied today, and the feeling around these two guys is so different. Maybe Scotty should play less like Rory and just tee it up once in between majors.
Two on top of the world. Maybe not on top of their game, but our mind goes to one that ruled this game for so very long, and that's where we will take you next. A quick timeout, Johnson Wagner in a historic, iconic spot at Memorial. We're taking it back to 2012 after a quick timeout.
That's not safe for TV.
Kind of hurt back. What's he doing?
Hi, it's Sierra Miller. I can't wait for you to check out my new collection of shoes and accessories at Designer Shoe Warehouse. If you love shoes as much as I do, then trust me, I got you. From cute sneakerinas to the perfect flip-flops to stunning heels, these shoes are all style, no drama. It's a girl's girl summer, and DSW has just the shoes. Shop the Sierra Miller collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Back on Scorecard, presented by Lincoln Financial. 50 years of moments at the Memorial has left us with a collection of unforgettable shots. Chief amongst them, taking us back to 2012. Long right and laying down. The Cat put the tournament on the line and takes one up high. A patented fist bump, unmistakable. The roar, a Sunday 67, and a fifth handshake from the Golden Bear, setting the stage for another moment some 14 years later. Wags, with that, the stage is set. How you doing, my friend?
I mean, I've played this tournament plenty of times to this hole, and I never wanted to hit it long here because of that shot. I would always bail out short or in the bunker. But, guys, this rough out here is so incredibly thick. And when you go in to make a practice swing, you can just feel it slow the club head down the entire time. The ability that Tiger had to make that full swing and pop it up as high as he did. And now, again, watching guys out here all weekend, when they miss the green by just a little bit, you've got to give it so much more extra than you really think you do. But that's when you give it a little too much extra and it slides over the other side of the green. So it's kind of a guessing game. But I like to play these shots out here a little bit like a bunker shot and just sort of blast it out of here and hopefully guess at the right thing. And now this ball, it just barely needs to trickle over this ridge and it'll get all the way down to the hole. Well, I went right completely under that.
Yeah, I lost it in the sun there, Wags.
Yeah, that was embarrassing. We saw Roy McIlroy do that on 7 today.
Yeah, we did. We'll see that in a bit.
That's a recreation inside of a recreation for you right there.
Well, I left it in the same exact spot.
All right, give yourself a decent lie.
Yeah. No, again, I mean, all jokes aside, Wags, this is another example of how impressive the shot was from Tiger.
This was on the table.
All right. I'm gonna get it this time. Third
right,
time's the charm,
go.
Shane.
You're gonna be lucky to put this one inside 6 feet.
Okay, well, there it is.
High and soft.
Here we go.
Watch it.
Take the slope.
What is it?
Slope.
Am I going? It is in.
Wags,
wow.
I was talking
incredible.
Wags, I was talking to Scobrin this week about that shot. He was caddying for Ricky, and he just said, you know, we just both hit each other. Like, what do you say when a guy that would just pull these types of golf shots off under the most amount of pressure pulls one off, you know, a foot and a half from you?
It's ridiculous, and we showed on the telecast today the two times he holed out on 14, which are harder shots than this one. One was for a par. One was 30 yards left of the green, and he holed out for birdie. The guy just had a knack. Tiger has a way of doing the impossible is what I'd have to say, Shane.
One of my favorite fist pumps we ever got from him.
Huge fist pump. Reminded me of the amateur days.
You want to hit a crow hop fist pump recreation, Wags? Or?
No, he's got a bad back.
We got the bad back.
Not making him do that.
Put her on ice.
I can't do that. If I had executed the shot anywhere near where I threw it, I would have. But I can't fist pump after that performance. No.
He's protecting the field, and he respects the game. Johnson Wagner, thank you so much, as always, my friend. We'll see you soon. All right, back with the fellas. A fun week out here at the Memorial, and that's one that I just remember it. I remember exactly. That's a where were you for me. I remember exactly where I was. After college, hoping the Cat would come back. I think it was a long night the day before, like in a dark basement. It fell out of the couch.
Yeah.
That's one of those that... It's always up there.
Well, I mean, again, I think about some of the shots like around the greens, right? And I mean, we love talking about power and how far these guys hit it off the tee. All the shots you really remember are those types of shots from the best in the world. I mean, we think about some of the ones he hit at Augusta National. That to me is maybe a top five iconic Tiger shot.
100%. And I think going back to the driver point, it's Cam Young at the Players this year and maybe DJ in the playoff against Spieth. Not to bring up his name, apologies on my end, but it is those more touchy, nuanced shots.
Spieth counter in the corner.
And you look at Tiger, everyone talked about the towering iron play and tiger-proofing courses. You can't tiger-proof that touch.
Yeah. Absolutely not.
Good for a superlative each and every time we saw him out there, which takes us quite appropriately to our Sunday superlatives, the week that was our one of us moment of the week, fellas. Burns on 11.
Yeah, there is nothing worse than when you're trying to punch out from thick rough under a tree. The ball crawls up the face, always goes higher than you think. So, Patrick, he hit the tree, bounces back, then he's like, I'm just going to hit it again. And that hit the tree and then went in the creek.
Into the creek. Where's Gil Hans when you need him? Let's get these trees,
get these trees out of here.
Come on, Jack. Let's do a restoration.
There you go. Pounds it, goes backwards, goes, that's a negative yard shot. Do we look on ShotLink what it said about that? No negative yards?
I think so.
That is quite literally the one of us moment of the week, because I think I showed you some of that this week, Shane. We're going to go to the whiff of the week. Didn't do that, but the second best player
this
in the world
Wags,
did.
Is it?
No, this is not Wags. Okay. The other whiff of the week. Rory trying to, you know, anytime you're trying to take it up high out of this thick stuff,
the reaction.
Liable to leave it in front of you.
Like, what do you even do about that? I mean, he's got to just smile, right?
When's the last time you've whiffed one?
Oh, I mean, I've done this before, going straight under it like that.
My go-to is the hosel out of the bunker, kind of like somebody.
Yeah.
I do that often.
I'm more of a double hit guy.
Shout out. Straight under it.
So that is our whiff of the week. How about our bad vibes of the week? I think an obvious one here, but we got to run it back.
I never thought that I would.
What's your favorite line from
it?
I'll tell you this. Aaron Rye has never walked faster on a golf course than this moment right there.
Clear
out. Like, is he okay? I can't hear anything you're saying.
Now I'm in the water.
That's my favorite part.
Because it came in out of the right.
I don't think you understand how flushed it is.
Absolutely flushed a 7-iron, and we get the wind wrong, and I'm in the water. I don't think you understand how frustrating that is.
That's it. That's my.
That is the kicker.
Like, that was a good shot.
I mean, I guess if you're Ted Scott, you look back and go, look at the hat I'm wearing.
Yeah, he's going full Gilligan.
He's got the mini bucket.
Gilligan.
I wish I wasn't wearing this shirt.
Yes, exactly.
I got the mini bucket. I'm getting yelled at by a guy younger than me.
The skipper was none too happy there. That was our bad vibes moment of the week. We're hoping Scotty can turn his vibes around. And you know one way to do it? A new look. You bring a new look. Tip ball, overthrow. It's the turnover we need. A mohawk. We almost made Patrick McDonald do it.
They're built different in the Rust Belt. I'll tell you that much. Different breed.
Listen, you make Patrick do something to that flow right there. That'd be like changing the 2000 Tiger swing. Like, you leave that flow on Patrick's head as long as
I do the mohawk. I get the beer that comes with it.
That's fine. We can do that.
They said, like Michelangelo, he didn't sculpt. He relieved the sculptures from the... That hair has just been relieved from...
Good.
Here we go.
Here's my guy.
Jack guy of the week.
Look at this guy's arms.
This looks like me and Shane right now.
need to get this guy on Instagram immediately to talk through bicep workouts.
We're getting going for a playoff. We're heading back for a second playoff hole, and this guy completely threw Jim and Trevor into laughter, which is what I. They were like, "Whoa, whoa, big wait for the big fella."
By the way, imagine taking that photo to like an 8-year-old and going, "Which one's the professional athlete? Which of these two guys is the pro athlete?" And you're the dude on the right.
Good. Is that Brian Cushing?
Look at it. And he even went for the credential and flexed on him to move his credential. That security guy needs to be in our lives.
He barely got to it.
Looks like a ref in 2026.
You had a Jack guy of the week. We also had a worst pick of all time of the week.
I know who this is going to be.
Who wins the Memorial?
I'm going to go with Ricky. We talked about this with Ricky Fowler a few weeks ago, and I think I mentioned Ricky was going to win the Memorial. He's missed a couple cuts in a row, which I don't like.
Interesting.
What I do like is, the way he's played this golf course in his career. Hasn't won, but finished second a couple times, and has played well. Two top 10 finishes in his last three starts here at Memorial, and he's played solid this season.
Process feels good.
Yeah.
Listen, we had a great game plan. It kind of felt a little bit like the Sam Burns 6-iron, right? It's like I have an idea of the shot in my head, and then I hit it down on a path.
Can I pull back the curtain here? Because you were out there, what, Tuesday?
Right.
We found some golf after that, and you said, I saw Ricky out there. I'm not sure. He was doing a lot of chip. I'm not sure he loved the pick.
He was hitting some chip shots I didn't love. I'm just going to say.
Shane backtracked.
I heard rumors of a sinus infection. Okay. I don't know if that was true or not, but it is true relating to your pick.
Shane got off of the pick before the 79-82. I'll defend him for that.
Listen, I'm going to say this again. Who'd you pick this week to win?
Xander.
Neither won?
Yeah, exactly.
Neither
That's
guy won?
True. One guy can win.
That's true.
Only one guy can win.
Ryan Gerard didn't win either.
Didn't win either. They won a little bit more money than our boy Ricky Fowler. That was not great. What did he shoot? Did he shoot 79-82?
41-41 on Friday.
79-82 or...
Listen, can't get them all right, guys. Can't get them all right. Still looking for my first win of the year.
You want to talk money? We'll talk money moves here. We had two players take it deep and climb all the way up to T6.
I love that we do this.
A $730,000 payout for Alex Fitzpatrick and Chris Rayton, who...
needs it.
They nearly doubled their money with the play.
The Rayton family.
Rayton, a billionaire heir. Imagine
telling his family, "Hey, I won $400,000 more this Sunday," and they're like,
"It's like
okay,
your last talk at the dinner table."
Grandpa went like this.
Yeah.
There's your $400.
Got that on my wrist, my friend.
Oh goodness. Well, in Alex Fitzpatrick's case, it was another check cashing moment in this opportunity that he's been getting.
Heck of a run.
Who
this
you like
guy's
more
been
at
on.
The U.S. Open, Alex or Matt?
That's fun.
I'll go Matt, just because I do think Matt will win a second major at some point in his career, but I think Alex is playing better golf.
I think it's Matt, but if you posted odds on that, if you gave me a nice number, mm-hmm. I wouldn't have a hard time getting to Alex on some plus money.
Played great golf today.
I think it's Matt, too, but I would like to see Matt kind of factor a bit more in this major championship.
Yeah, he's fallen off a bit the last few weeks.
Where we had next, Psycho Scorecard? I'm told we got a Psycho Scorecard of the week, Shane Bacon. This is...
Who we got? We got Pinterest. Yeah, I think I wrote down. We got six pars today. It went 32-42.
Yep.
Couple doubles late, and you see all those birdies on his opening nine there.
Gotta be in the field next week.
I think
right?
he started on 10 as well. So I think he actually did the bad stuff early and the good stuff late. Hey,
that was your Psycho Scorecard.
74.
Taylor Pendrith. We'll probably see you in Canada. The Canadian heading up north as we do as well with golf on CBS. Oh, no. They did it to me?
Oh, let's go.
I actually plays. I got to be honest with you.
Mongolian reversal.
Where did they find that one? That was like the one they tell you to take before they actually take the pictures.
That actually looks okay.
Not a bad look.
You really don't look bad.
Have you shaved your head before?
Not a bad look. I did shave my head senior year, between junior and senior year, you know, getting gritty to try and make a run at a state championship for Fenwick High School, you know?
Get the hawk back.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you and prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Back on Scorecard presented by Lincoln Financial. Time now for your action plan presented by Lincoln Financial, where JT Poston was about that action. Claims his fourth career victory, the $4 million check in a moment that family will not soon forget. JT Poston delivers at the Memorial. All right, back with the fellas to whip him around, because I believe you said it a day ago, an exciting weekend in the world of golf. We did have a live event, the uncertain future, but a certain champion here, and one that we like to highlight heading into major championships as well.
He's another character in the game, Tyrrell Hatton, has many antics on the golf course, whether you like him or not. He brings something different, a different spice as we've been talking about it. A guy who had a real chance at Oakmont last season, wins at Valderrama, a tough golf course over someone like Jon Rahm. I think this one does mean something going into Shinnecock.
Would agree. I mean, I keep waiting for Tyrrell Hatton to have those 4 days of really, really professional golf at a major. what did we see, 70 holes of it last year at Oakmont before he kind of had the meltdown there at 17.
Well, that's just it. That made it far further than I expected. We'll see if the mentals are right headed to Shinnecock this season. How about the U.S. Women's Open?
Still going,
turn
huh?
Our attention next. In action right now, and I'm told we have three tied at 7. Nelly, Charlie, and Chun.
That's pretty good stuff right
Shane
there.
Shane Bacon's dynasty. I mean, we're all...
I'm not going to put it up on my phone right here. That seems like it'd be relatively unprofessional.
It's an exciting finish.
Couple holes left. I mean, Riv's just the best. I mean, Riv delivers every time, no matter what event it is. I remember the U.S. Amateur when Doc Redman went eagle birdie and then won on the 10th in the playoff there over Doug Gehm. Like, the golf course is just perfect down the stretch. Everything about it's awesome.
And who could forget Mark Lawrence in that semifinals, Virginia Tech legend himself. I'm sure we're talking James Hahn, we're talking Mark Lawrence.
Who could forget?
But I will say, it seems like Nelly still has that par 5 17th. She might be on it right now. Could be a championship-deciding birdie in her future.
All right, we'll see how it finishes at the U.S. Women's Open. Producer Brian, tell me where we're heading next.
I think we're going U.S. Open.
We got top fives headed to the U.S. Open. All right, who are we unfurling first? Shane Bacon, your top five things you're looking forward to at the U.S. Open 2 weeks
ago. I mean, obviously, the Scotty Slam is going to be atop most people's list. 25 years between slams at when we got up from Rory, and then we might go back-to-back seasons with slams. I know Patrick hates that.
We're going 5-1.
Oh, we're going to five. Okay, five. So we'll go under par. Is that what we started with number four? Would anybody finish under par? We had Ray Floyd at 186. We had Pavin at even in 96. Mm-hmm. Goosen was 400. Kepka was one over. So interested just to see will under par win. I think under par is going to win the U.S. Open. I think just in terms of conditions we still see, there are the scores at those last four U.S. Opens at Shinnecock. Goosen obviously the best in terms of scoring at 4 under par. So kind of keep an eye on that. Just a thought, what I think is one of the best championship golf courses in the world. Yeah. My number four, are we going to number four? Are we moving on?
Please.
All right, number
five
four.
5-4, yes.
Yeah, I'll go the other stars.
Odds
and Patrick. What are the other stars doing?
Yeah.
Because it's basically random major winner or Scotty and Rory right now. Talking your boy Xander.
It's been tough.
I'm talking Colin, Ludwig, Rahm, Fleetwood, names. Bryson, Hatton.
Putting cases
down the list
on all of you.
I'm with you.
What are the boys doing?
I'm with you. Xander's fallen into some really bad habits lately. Just not even showing a shot on Sunday. This is a guy who was playing alongside Rory today. I don't think we saw a shot from him, and rightfully so.
I'll go back to my number three just because kind of got my focus on those guys. Like, of that list, we got two majors left this year. Will one of them pick one up? Number three is just the randomness of the major winners as of late. I call it a mini run because the last couple seasons, obviously, we saw the Spahn win, and then we got Aaron Rye. I look at names like Connor, Straka, Burns, Siwoo, Bridgman, that level of player.
Yeah.
Could we see another random quote-unquote winner at a major championship after that run we had for 4, 5, 6 years where we really didn't have a random major winner?
Corey Connors, that is a name. His major might be this upcoming week, but we talked about it before. Siwoo Kim's probably been a top two, top three guy on the PGA Tour this season without a win, and I mean, I think he's trending towards something.
Spahn at Oakmont was, I think, 150-1 number. We had a random U.S. Open winner a year ago. Sometimes the chaos of it all, one of those players can hold water.
And I find the golf course, I think it plays into that. I think the tougher the golf course, sure, the best player in the world can win there. But when you kind of go through the names, I mentioned them, Ray Floyd, Corey Pavin, Goosen, Kepka.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not necessarily the quote-unquote best golfer in the world, maybe away from Brooks at the time. My number two is Shinny's the star. I mean, will Shinny be the star at this U.S. Open? I was thinking about my best championship golf courses kind of away from Augusta National because Augusta National is its own beast. Shinny, Pinehurst, number two. I think Balthasaral. I know Jimmy Walker won there. We don't talk about that PGA Championship, but I think Balti typically is an amazing championship host. I think Oakland Hills has always been great in terms of kind of bringing the best out in the field. I think Shinny will shine once again. It's a golf course that I just simply get excited to watch because 1 through 18 are all testing, but all gettable as well.
And you have the wind, of course. That's always going to be a constant factor in the kind of how that course meanders. You have one par 5 playing into the wind at all times, one playing downwind too. So there are some scoring chances there. But I think it's everything you want out of a U.S. Open setup, and it allows for a bit of escape artistry that something like Oakmont did not.
Great point. Number one will be Scotty, as I started with one instead of five. Scotty, the slam, I mentioned 25 years between slams going back to back. I don't know if that takes anything away from the Rory Slam. I know you've been a little against that. You don't want to see this
many
slams. Not at all.
I'm good for one a year.
In a row. Also, 30th birthday on Sunday. Yeah, we'll be interested to see in terms of Scotty. A lot of things connecting. Maybe the only thing not connecting right now is his actual golf game.
Yeah.
Patrick, your top five.
Let's see. So top five, we're going to start at five.
I'm going to do five first.
Then four, then three, then two, then one. I believe that is typically how it goes. I'm looking at the number one AM in the world, Jackson Koivin, made his U.S. Open debut last season at Oakmont, missed the cut 72-76. But think about the low amateurs in recent U.S. Open history. Spieth, Scheffler, Rahm, Henley, Fitzpatrick, all kind of dudes right now. And a lot of people are expecting Jackson Koivin to be a dude.
Hovland as well. Yes. You think about Hovland.
Did we not have one last year? I don't think we had.
It was Justin Hastings.
Okay. That was just.
Shane and I talked to him.
Fantastic.
We interviewed him.
My bad, yeah. Guys.
Thanks for watching.
Number
that.
Four.
Number four is just tomorrow, the longest day in golf. I think great storylines always emerge from that. And I'm sure we'll have plenty to talk about that here in a little bit as mm-hmm. well, because it hits home for the show. But that's my fourth one.
And we'll have, by the way, we'll have a Tuesday show.
Tuesday
show. Talk about
still.
Golf's longest day.
Exactly.
It'll be
shot by shot.
The whole thing.
Coming from an undisclosed location, I'm being told.
It's a library, but yes, Tuesday will be an interesting show.
I love libraries.
Top five libraries. No.
Five through one.
West Hartford, Mount Pleasant, South Carolina. Adam Scott.
Yeah, this is a good one.
This is
really
a
good
wild
poll.
Number, 100. Patrick.
100.
Straight.
100 in a row. Yeah. 2001 U.S. Open, his last one. He did not
Duval.
Play in. Imagine what has happened in the 25 years since.
That is so
It's unbelievable. Jack has the record with 146. Only 21 players have played in 100 or more total.
Total majors.
Second longest streak ever. It's unbelievable. And remember this, guys. He had a chance to win last year at Oakmont. He was in that final group with Sam Burns.
Let me ask you a question. I talk a lot about this. Do we celebrate longevity enough in golf? We love talking
Absolutely
about wins,
not.
But I feel like we don't talk about this longevity thing as much as we should.
No.
So quick math in my head, that's 12 more seasons. That's the PGA 12 years from now. Where will we be for him to tie? Well,
they definitely, it's probably Frisco, so 12 years
I'll
from
probably
now.
Be like
it's a good guess.
Probably
it's a
Frisco.
Good guess. Number two.
Number two, Scotty Slam, of course. Rory got his.
There's a bigger story than the Scotty Slam.
In the 11th attempt, Saracen, Hogan, Tiger all in the first player, and Nicklaus in their third attempt. So it feels like the temperature on Scotty's cooled a little bit, but he's still the world.
Does that help him at all? Does that help him at all going in?
I don't think it affects him at all.
Heavy, massive favor, doesn't matter.
I don't think it affects him at all. Number one, kind of similar to Shane, it's Shinnecock Hills. And kind of, we saw a very difficult test in Oakmont last year, but it felt like a test of execution. You got to hit the fairway. If you're out of position, you're chipping out because of how thick that rough is. You hear Rory and Scotty talk about how wide these fairways are. I think it's going to be a thinking man's test, one of patience, and one where any skill set can win. I wouldn't be shocked if a Russell Henley type, an Aaron Rye type, a J.J. Spahn type can keep up with the Rorys and the big hitters in 2 weeks' time.
All right, my five, there is some overlap. We're going to go through it quickly here. First to complain, who's?
Well, I mean, it's the guy we just talked about at LIV. It's going to be Tyrrell Hatton. He'll probably say hates the golf course Tuesday
morning.
Give me
minus money on Shane Lowry.
Shane Lowry also
is
on the list, is
a good first to complain.
Who do you have?
First to complain, Tyrrell was the first that came to mind. My brain just sees Zach Johnson. I know that's not going to be the case.
Probably not.
We're losing the golf course.
Probably not in the field.
I can confidently say that. All right, number four, dude or dog, that's essentially your three, Shane. You know, we go Rory Rye to start the season. Is it going to be a big name, or is it going to be, you know, one of these underdogs that comes up and barks to a major moment?
I have a feeling it's going to be a dog.
A dog?
I just feel like we're going to be leaning a little bit more into that world than we are the superstars. Yeah. I don't find Rory and Scotty playing the level of golf that I think needs to be played to win at Shinnecock.
Number three, scripting. I love major championship scripting.
I'll forward you all the emails I get.
It's summer in the Hamptons. We're going to see. Dress appropriately. The scripting
loose
I'm looking
fitting,
forward to.
Loose fitting, I bet. A lot of loose
fitting. Yeah, we'll get in the wind.
Tommy's going to fly
a slack,
away.
A nice slack in the wind.
Did you see Danielle Kang's pants this week?
I'm not sure.
The U.S. Women's Open, they were incredible.
Yeah?
Yeah. $40 or something on Amazon.
Fantastic. Number two, I'm going the USGA setup. We're coming off an exciting PGA, and we had one in red numbers at Oakmont last year. How much of this is, and I don't think ego is completely saying what I'm trying to say, but how much ego is there in that room to say, we're going to set this up with a number in mind, not with a certain way we want the championship to play, perhaps.
You know, I don't think they have to put the thumb on the scale as much at Shinnecock than they do maybe at other places like point. You would at a Wingfoot. But you it's do think about 04, there was controversy, right? Yeah. You think about 18, a lot of controversy around that with Phil Mickelson running after the ball and hitting it. This place always brings that out. And then you obviously saw last time we had a U.S. Open here, the conditions changed so much on that Saturday that it allowed Berger and Finau to play their way up 40-something spots on the leaderboard into that final group.
All right, my number one, we've seen it already, Scotty's first run at a Grand Slam. We're going to see if he can get it done in the minimum here on Father's Day, 30th birthday, all of the storylines sort of coming together and coming to a head at this special place in the game of golf. And not just that, I sort of had this idea in my mind because of Pinehurst that Scotty doesn't necessarily play the U.S. Open great. Top seven in four of his last five. Yeah. Top seven in four of his last five. He's going to be there. He's going to have a chance to do it.
I hope he has a real chance, not a I need to birdie three of my last five shots kind of chance, but I hope he has a real opportunity on that back nine on Sunday because it's way more exciting when Scotty's in the conversation.
Speaking of a real chance, we are sitting next to a man with a real chance to be in that field as well. Shane Bacon set to take part in golf's longest day, and this is Shane Bacon's week Friday. This is the timeline.
just what you want to be doing headed into golf. Now, you didn't put on Thursday we played a practice. We played golf Thursday, practice on a Wednesday.
He's played a lot of golf,
Moose
too.
Was a part of that.
We plotted it. We found the do's and the don'ts. Shane, this is not a moment. It's not like one of those perfect games where you don't want to talk about it. It's an opportunity out in front of you. I've seen you play some spectacular golf over the last couple weeks. How are you feeling? What's bouncing in your head on the eve of trying to do it?
You know, I wrote down this week both scenarios. I wrote it down just to write it down, and I read it.
And then we burned the note.
Well, I know, but I mean, I said, you know, what's the worst case scenario?
Yeah.
Is you play terrible, and you finish DFL like Ricky did this past week, my pick, right? And then you move on, and you just kind of move on. And I'm not a pro golfer. I move on to my Tuesday. I'm playing Connecticut Amateur on Tuesday, so I have to get right back out to it and play after our show from the West Hartford Library. And then I've thought about the difference in what happened in 2019 when I had a chance at this, and now. I mean, I'm flying in the night before in 2019 to play in Dallas against all the pros. Had never seen either golf course. Got a chance to play practice rounds at both over the last couple of weeks that I'm playing tomorrow. And I feel like I'm playing the level of golf that if I can get out of my own way, go out there and hit some shots, make some putts, give yourself an opportunity with 9-10 holes left.
I've seen it.
I've seen it too.
Got to make some birdies.
Who's your pick at the purchase? I got Shane Bacon.
I just put the mortgage on Bacon.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I'd go James Nicklaus if I were you. But
I don't know.
Tip of the cap to you because we talk about these guys all the time. You're putting yourself in the arena. I wish more people in the media would do that. The guys who are that caliber
really cool.
of player to put yourself in that position. It says a lot about you, and I'm pumped for you. I hope you have a great time.
It'll be fun. I'm excited about my caddy. He caddied for me when I got through 36-hole qualifying for the U.S. Amateur a few years ago. Very confident, very aggressive guy as well. Kind of talks me into some shots maybe I wouldn't typically take on.
Right.
It worked a few years ago to get into that U.S. Amateur, so who knows? Maybe tomorrow there'll be a couple shots down the stretch.
We talked about the secret weapon.
The three-wood?
The short three-wood?
The three-wood. Got that three-wood in the bag last couple weeks.
I'll stay out of it. You go to that three-wood. Shane Bacon, I'll say it right now for all of us here at CBS. We're very proud of you.
Well,
at this stage.
It'll be a fun day tomorrow. Dad's coming out to watch, so we're having a great day.
All right, and then we need you to get back to work because here's our upcoming show schedule
right here
on Scorecard. Scottish Open final round. We've got you covered. Streaming on Paramount Plus. CBS Sports HQ.
Wait, isn't it on?
And also on CBS.
They're putting us on CBS?
We're going to be on the big one.
Unbelievable. Whose idea was this?
Coming after coverage of the Scottish, and then we got you covered for the playoffs as well. For Shane Bacon, Patrick McDonald, Joe Musso, play the music.
Do we have it? We got bagpipes?
That's good.